Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri Basin Conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levy sponsors and emergency managers, as well as the media. I'm Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and will be placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. At this time, all lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line, you'll need to press *6 and then unmute on your computer as well. I'll repeat these instructions when we get to the question and answer session at the end of the call. Today's call will be hosted by Mike Swenson from Missouri River Water Management Division, Kevin Lau from the National Weather Service Missouri River Basin Forecast Center will be providing both the climate update and the river flood outlook. And Jessica Batterman from Missouri River Water Management will be providing the runoff forecast. With that, I will hand the call over to Kevin Lau.
All righty. Thank you, Eileen. And can you hear me, please?
If you can maybe get a little closer to the mic or turn up the volume just a little bit.
Okay. All righty.
There we go. Perfect. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the National Weather Service, I'd like to thank the Corps of Engineers for the invite to participate on this series of calls. As Eileen mentioned, in addition to the National Weather Service flood outlook, which I normally cover on these monthly calls, today I'll also be covering the weather and climate material. So with my first slide, or my second slide, I guess, we'll be looking at what the temperatures and precipitation have done over the past 3 months across the Missouri River Basin. Warmer than normal is still the overall message, though the greatest anomaly in temperatures are seen in the browns and the oranges that you see along the extreme eastern border area of the Missouri Basin. In fact, some of Montana actually saw temperatures cooler than normal over the past 90 days. Percent of normal precipitation is shown on the right-hand graphic. And that's a mixed bag of above normal and below normal precipitation occurring across the basin over the past 3 months. Oranges and reds indicate below normal precipitation, while blues and greens indicate higher than normal precipitation. With my next slide, we'll be looking at exactly the same types of information, but we'll be limiting our look back to just the last 30 days. Temperature on the left, we were granted somewhat of a reprieve in the northern plains from this winter's generally warmer than normal temperatures. With respect to precipitation on the right-hand slide or graphic, we received some beneficial precipitation in early March over Missouri and Iowa. Then again in late March, thunderstorms dropped a goodly amount of rain over eastern Nebraska, Iowa, and central Missouri. Last week, we received some needed precipitation over South Dakota and Missouri, and then earlier this week, a system produced precipitation over Montana, Wyoming, western Nebraska, and a part of South Dakota. So a little dab here and a little dab there, and when you put it all together, that's what you see on the right-hand side. With my next slide, courtesy of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, or the NRCS, as they're better known. This shows mountain snow water equivalent, that is the amount of liquid held in the snowpack as it is today as compared with the 30-year average. So these are percentages of where we're at today. And it really tells two different stories. In the Northern Rockies, which represent the headwaters of the Upper Missouri River and the Yellowstone River, the snowpack is roughly 70 to 80% of average. But if you look to the south, the Platte system, the North and South Platts, they're running right at average. With my next slide, we'll look at the snowpack in the plains, which is, as it has always been this year, non-existent. So a very bleak year for snow in the plains area. With my next slide, we'll show a couple of different ways to look at soil moisture. The left-hand graphic is courtesy of NASA, and it shows the simulated soil moisture in roughly the top 1 meter of the soil column. And the right-hand graphic shows the results of soil moisture modeling performed by NOAA's Climate Prediction Center. And both of these methods indicate the same thing, that soil moisture remains depleted in the lower basin, while some of the upper basin has shown some recovery from the years of drought that we've been enduring. So we're getting better in the north. Okay, looking ahead now with the next slide, I'm going to be showing what the precipitation, or this is showing what the precipitation is for the next week. As you can see, almost all of the basin has a good chance to see at least a few drops of precipitation. To set the context, the greatest or the darkest green is about a half an inch, and the medium blue color is an inch. So again, this is the total amount of precipitation that could occur over the next 7 days. So not a whole lot. With the next slide, I'm gonna go out a little further in time. Here's the outlook for both temperatures on the left and precipitation on the right for the period starting next Wednesday, April 17th, going out through Tuesday, April 23rd. So it's what we call week two. Temperatures over the northern and western portions of the basin may actually be cooler than normal during this week two. And looking at the right-hand side, the odds favor, slightly favor, wetter than normal conditions across the entire basin for week two. With my next slide, I'm gonna go way out on a limb, and we're gonna look at what the Climate Prediction Center is saying for the next 3 months for both temperature and precip. So again, the valid period for these outlooks goes from now to the end of June. On the left-hand slide, that white area that you see is where we have no strong indication as to whether to expect below normal or above normal or just plain normal temperatures between now and the end of June. But for the remainder of the Missouri River Basin, it's the same old song and dance. It's warmer than normal. That remains the storyline. On the right-hand graphic, which deals with precipitation over the next 3 months, that green area that extends from southern Montana downward through Missouri, that green area is likely to see above, or at least the chances trend toward above normal precipitation during this 3 month period. So that's good. With the next slide, I'll look at drought conditions, both how they are today and how they are being outlooked. On the left, we see the most current drought monitor. This will be updated tomorrow. But for now, the current drought monitor shows that 58% of the Missouri Basin is abnormally dry. 22% of the area is actually classified as being in some level of drought. Now, 1 year ago, in April of 2023, 43% of the basin was in drought. So we're at least moving in the right direction, but again, over half the basin is abnormally dry. The right-hand graphic is the drought outlook, and that is what changes are expected in drought conditions across the basin between now and the end of June. The deep browns and the yellows that you see in northern Montana and northern North Dakota, that would indicate drought persistence or even expansion of drought. So that's not good. But the greens and the grays that you see in Wyoming and southeast Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, those are areas where drought improvement or even drought removal is expected between now and the end of June. So with my next slide, I'll wrap up the weather and climate. So ENSO conditions, that's La Nina or El Nino, ENSO conditions are expected to transition to neutral by June or so forth. Although El Nino effects, that's what we're in right now is El Nino, those effects will still lag behind the actual transition. So our basin will still have El Nino effects past that that date. This fall, all indications, or most indications, I should say, is that we'll actually enter into a La Nina condition. It's not a sure thing, but it is likely. And this could bode well for our basin because La Nina, if it does turn out, that increases chances or often leads to increased mountain snows. So again, that's a long way out. That would be next winter. But that's the indication is that La Nina will come back to the basin. In the short term, chances lean towards some wetness. Temperature outlook is a mixed bag. Looking longer term, i.e. all the way through June, the eastern portion of the basin will likely remain warmer than normal, but there is some hope that we might see some more precipitation. Next Thursday, NOAA will provide their monthly climate update for the north central part of the U.S., and you can register for that and future meetings at that link there at the bottom of the screen. Okay, my very last slide, and now to something that I actually know something about. I'll speak briefly to flood risk across the basin. Since our last call in early March, we've had about a half a dozen tributaries in the state of Missouri experience minor to moderate flooding due to thunderstorm activity. We also had some minor to moderate flooding along two of our Canadian tributaries to the Milk up in along the border of Montana and Canada. So a couple of those tributaries actually went above flood. That was because of rain on snow. We had some snow up in the Canadian portion of the basin, and had some rain on that. Frozen ground may have played some effect too. So we did have some flooding in extreme northern Montana over the past couple of weeks. Our office develops a 3-month river outlook once per month, and our latest run was made a couple of weeks ago, late March, and that's what you see depicted on that graph on this slide. And the green is good, oranges and reds mean that we expect flooding. So over the next 3 months, there is the likelihood, there is the probability for continued flooding along the tributaries in eastern Kansas and the state of Missouri. Again, that's driven by thunderstorms. It's typical. So with that, that concludes my river and climate brief, and I'll turn it back over to Eileen. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kevin. And we'll give it to Mike Swenson for opening comments, and then he'll pass it to Jessica.
Okay, thanks, Eileen. And thanks to Kevin Lau for participating today and also for covering both sets of data. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Swenson, one of the team leaders in the Missouri River Basin Water Management Office. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River main stem reservoir system. As always, want to assure you that everyone in the basin, that the Corps remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and business when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Floods can and will occur regardless of basin or system conditions. As Kevin indicated, thunderstorms in the lower Missouri River basin can and do occur. Runoff from large storms in the lower basin cannot always be mitigated by the operation of the main stem reservoirs. It's also important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. Each runoff season or flooding event is unique. The Corps of Engineers understands the importance of the Missouri River in providing for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. The system is regulated to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently and will be adequate water in the reservoirs and in the river reaches between the reservoirs and below the system to serve all water supply needs. I want to remind everyone that the Corps does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner or operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory obligations to operate the Missouri River main stem reservoir system for its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 biological opinion. As a reminder, we will start test flows from Fort Peck later this month, and I will provide more details about that in a few minutes. The runoff forecast and the projected reservoir release and pool levels that Jessica and I will be discussing are based on the best available information. Actual conditions may be different. I will now turn the discussion over to Jessica.
All right, thanks, Mike. Eileen, I'm on slide 15. The 2024 calendar year runoff forecast for the Upper Missouri Basin above Sioux City, Iowa, which is highlighted in red, is 17.5 million acre feet, 68% of average. If realized, the 2024 calendar year runoff would be the 22nd driest out of 126 years of record. I'm now on slide 16. The below average runoff forecast for 2024 reflects the current drier than normal soil moisture in northwestern Montana, northern and eastern North Dakota, most of the lower basin, as well as below average mountain snowpack and below average plain snowpack. As seen on this slide, observed March runoff was below average, caused by below normal precipitation in much of the upper basin. We are also forecasting below average runoff in April, typically when the remaining plain snowpack melts, and in May through July, typically when mountain snowpack melts. Moving to slide 17. Mountain snowpack is accumulating at a below average rate in both the above Fort Peck and the Fort Peck to Garrison reaches. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck reach is 73% of average, shown in the left graphic. As of April 7th, the total SWE in the above Fort Peck reach is slightly below the minimum mountain SWE over the 30-year period of 1991 to 2020. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach is 83% of average, shown in the right graphic. As of April 7th, the SWE in this reach is slightly above the minimum mountain SWE over the 30-year period of 1991 to 2020. It is important to note that close to 95% of the typical accumulation period has elapsed, with mountain snowpack typically peaking in mid-April. In summary, the 2024 calendar year runoff forecast is 17.5 million acre feet, 68% of average. I will now turn it over to Mike.
Okay, thanks, Jessica. Gavin's Point releases are currently at 30,000 CFS. Releases will likely remain at that rate for a few more days and then will be increased as needed to meet the downstream targets. With regard to our monthly simulation or monthly studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Jessica just discussed. Due to the amount of variability that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely simulation. Information on the other studies is posted on our webpage. So turning to slide 19 here, and system storage is currently at 53.9 million acre feet, 2.2 million acre feet below the base of the annual flood control zone. Next slide. Looking at the upper three reservoirs here, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Oahe are currently 2.7, 2.2, and 5.0 feet below the base of their respective flood control pools. As shown on the basic forecast, Fort Peck Reservoir is likely going to peak early, just slightly higher than its current elevation. Garrison Reservoir is expected to peak near elevation 1838, just into its flood control pool. Peak releases are expected to average about 21,000 CFS this summer. Oahe Reservoir appears to have peaked near elevation 1604. Peak releases are expected to average about 30,000 CFS this summer. You can move on to the next slide, which details the master manual system storage checks. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation, and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The navigation service level at the start of the navigation season is typically based on the March 15th system storage. We are currently providing flow support at a level 500 CFS below full service based on the March 15th storage check. For this level of service on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from approximately 30,000 to 34,000 CFS. Releases will depend on downstream conditions and will be reduced in response to downstream flooding. The effectiveness of the reservoir system to reduce peak stages along the lower river diminishes as you move downstream due to the travel time. The service level for the remainder of the navigation season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1st system storage. Under the basic forecast, flow support for navigation would be reduced to approximately 4,000 CFS below full service after the July 1st storage check. There would be a normal 8-month navigation flow support season. Moving on to the next slide. Test releases from Fort Peck to assess the potential benefits of alternative management scenarios for the pallid sturgeon are planned to begin on April 26th. The test includes two higher Fort Peck release periods in late April and June with target flows at Wolf Point, Montana. The peak target flows for the first part of the test will be 18,000. The water released from Fort Peck will be captured in Garrison. The releases from Gavin's Point are unaffected by this operation. We will be hosting weekly virtual meetings during the flow test to update the public on test progress and planned operations. Information on accessing the public meetings can be found at the link shown on the bottom of the slide. In addition, a letter was sent to stakeholders in that area providing additional information on the test flows, monitoring, and communication plans. Next slide. Energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic simulation is 8.5 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. And on next slide is my last one, and that shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown on the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments for now. Eileen, I will turn it back to you.
Thanks, Mike. So our next call will be held on May 9th. We'll send the invitation out as we usually do the Monday of the call. We'll move to the question and answer session. The names that are on your screen right now are our speakers. I don't have Jessica on here, but if somebody needs the spelling for her, we can go back to the slide where her name is on it. So question and answers, again, you'll need to either unmute on your computer and press star 6 on your phone. It looks like most people use the web invite, so you'll just need to unmute on your computer screen to ask any questions. We'll go in alphabetical order by state, and we're just going to go through the round one time. So whether you're elected official, media, what have you, just be sure to state your name and the organization you represent, starting with the state of Iowa. Kansas. Missouri. Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming. Anyone that still has a question but didn't get a chance to unmute? All right, Mike, I'll give you closing comments.
Okay, thanks, Eileen. Couple more things to add. We held our spring public meetings in the upper basin the week of March 25th. We will be conducting two downstream meetings on April 16th More information is available on our website. Again, same link as the previous note about the public meetings. And then lastly, I guess as we move through the spring, I encourage everyone to monitor our website for information on releases and pool levels. Thanks for joining the call today. That's all I had. Eileen, if you want to close up the call.
All right. Thanks, Mike. That concludes today's call.